All right, welcome back to Unleashed, the most legit Celtics podcast in the game, episode number 86 today, and this is our first episode since the season unfortunately came to an end after the Celts lost to the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. So got a few things on the agenda today. We're going to obviously talk briefly about that loss, and then I also want to draw some positivity from this and talk about some of the smaller wins. No pun intended, I guess, with them losing the season. But some of the smaller wins that we came across this season that I feel like people are overlooking or, you know, ignoring or neglecting. So I want to get into that. And then, you know, I got some words for the haters, some of these ungrateful Celtics fans. And then we'll play some voicemails. All that on this episode of Unleashed. Let's make it a good offseason of episodes. Here we go. All right, so first topic that we're talking about today just is that Heat loss. I went live after the game, so, you know, if you guys are part of the audience over there, shout out to you guys, but you might hear some of the same things. Overall, it sucks that the Celtics lost that series. Like, no duh. They should have won that. I even said, I'm not even going to say they could have won that series. No, the Celtics should have won that series. But a few things happened. Most importantly, they literally got outworked. They had so much more talent than that team, and they still do have so much more talent than that team, except one of them is packing their bags. The other one's playing in the finals. So much more talent than that team, yet they got outworked, out-hustled, outplayed. And that's kind of annoying to me because this Celtics team is a team that, as fans, we take pride in it, as them playing and, you know, anyone involved in the organization themselves take pride in being that sort of gritty, hustle-like team. Didn't show up against the Heat in terms of hustle and want and desire. It kind of stunk. It was almost like the Celtics overlooked the Heat and got outworked. And it stinks because, you know, you're down 2-0 and you got to play. And then you're down, you know, facing elimination, so on and so forth. And you just don't have the want or desire. And it's troubling to me. It's like, how does someone, you know, face elimination and come out flat? Even though they won game five, right? You're down 3-1 and they came out absolutely flat. It was a little alarming to me. So I didn't like that they didn't have the desire or the want almost from, you know, the tip of game one. I guess I can't say that. Game one, they started pretty hot. But the minute, you know, the tables turned and the Heat showed, hey, we're here too, it's like the Celtics rolled over. And speaking of rollover, the only thing that really, really drove me nuts about that game six loss and the Celtics season ending, they went back and forth, they had the lead, so on and so forth. We'll talk about the coaching in a little bit. What really drove me nuts was that at the end of the game, you know, when the game was over, I'm talking it's over, like, you know, the Heat are advancing, the Celtics just rolled over and died, and the Heat were able to win by 12 and make it look like that wasn't even a close game. Hell, make it look like it wasn't even a close series. For some reason, and I don't know, I might be alone here, I might be on an island, I just don't like ending the season like that. Like, even when... You know, you're down, what, 6 points with a couple of minutes left. It's most likely over. How about a little tenacity? How about a little fight? How about ending the season, you know, with a fight, going down swinging, guns a-blazing type of thing? It kind of drove me nuts that they just rolled over and died. So that's what I have to say about, you know, what really irked me. We'll talk Brad Stevens because I know coaching was a huge part of this. So we will talk coaching. I got a couple of voicemail callers that brought him up. So don't worry, I'll give you my coaching take on this, but let's move on to, you know, that the positivity and the positive things that we can pull from this year, because I feel like people forget how damn good of a Celtics season this really was. The first point I want to make is, you know, and this can go for any fan base or most of the teams that came back after COVID to the bubble. What if we just didn't finish the season, you know? So let's be grateful for the fact that the Celtics came back and the Celtics overachieved, and I'll use that word again, overachieved, and made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, because it wasn't a guarantee that sports were even coming back. So let's all take a moment, be grateful for that. But, you know, this Celtics team specifically, Vegas had them as a 49-win team. 49-win team. Obviously, I hammered the over. It stunk because all those got, you know, scratched and didn't count. The bets got disqualified. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. My pockets could have been a little bit more heavy, but they weren't. So, you know, screw that. But 49.5 wins is what Vegas had them at. The Celtics won, even with the shortened season, even the weird season. They won 48 games. Like, they were on pace to smash 49 games. smashed. They were an easy, clear-cut 50-plus win team, like no question. And then COVID hit, and then, you know, the bubble and the system remapping and whatnot, so they obviously didn't really even have enough time to hit that 50-win mark, but they almost did. They had 48 wins. So it just goes to show that this team, you know, from the get, before the season, preseason, Vegas was aligned. This is not a 50-win team. That's why the over-under for wins was set at 49.5. This Celtics team literally took all of those expectations and said, hey, we're going to do you one more. People said you lost Kyrie. Kemba's not going to be good enough. Not true. This is not a let's hate on Kemba podcast, because overall, Kemba had a pretty damn good season. And he showed that he can play with these guys. The guys around him can get better. There's no harm in admitting Kemba had a really good year. It was his first year with the team. Let's not forget that. Even though he disappeared in a couple playoff games, and that's technically why we have him in here, let's remember, you know, as a whole, this was his first season with the team, and he looked pretty damn good. You know, and then you lose Al Horford, and there's going to be this huge big man issue. Baines is gone, too. Center by committee. Obviously, it kind of hurt them down the stretch. It came back to bite them, but center by committee worked. Daniel Tice played his ass off. You know, and then obviously, you know, I guess the obvious ones here with Marcus Smart kind of emerging as somewhat of an offensive talent. I don't want to give him too much credit and call him a shooter yet, because he just jacks sometimes. But then the big ones are Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And those are the huge points here. All that other stuff aside, you know, Gordon Hayward looking good pre-injury and getting injured again. But Kemba, Marcus Smart, the center by committee, all that aside, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown made this season a big W in my mind. No matter how you want to look at it. These guys became stars, and one of them became a superstar. Jaylen Brown could have and probably should have been an all-star. And I feel like people, you know, with the big gap in between the season and then the expectations of how they are rolling in the playoffs, I feel like people overlook the fact that, you know, this was a really, really, really good Celtics team. Like a really good Celtics team, a really good Celtics season, and we should all be proud of that as Celtics fans. And, you know, just by getting the Twitter vibes and what I'm seeing out there, it sure as hell does not look like people want to say that. You know, not at all. It's honestly, and I'm going to talk about some of the haters in a little bit, so I don't want to give too much away, but it's honestly, like, so annoying, so frustrating, pretty repulsive, just to see some people, and I, you know, recognize the handle, some of my followers, some of the people I interact with and, you know, and see regularly, how much they loved this Celtics team during the year, how much they loved this Celtics team when we were sweeping the Sixers, and then all of a sudden to see some of the toxic BS come out of their mouths and text and tweets just because they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals when being led by two guys whose ages don't even add up to 50, a 22 and 23-year-old? Like, I don't know. It's a little questioning to me, and then, you know, I can't wait. I'm hoping some of you guys leave your tweets, because I want to pull receipts next year when you guys are back on the wagon and excited again. So overall, you know, let's just take a second to realize that this was an absolute positive season. You know, all those little wins that I noted there, and then the big wins in Tatum and Brown. And even if you're not sold on Jaylen Brown yet, or, you know, maybe you're just a Jaylen Brown hater, look at it. Look at what he did. He took such a big leap. And then Jason Tatum, no one can deny what Jason Tatum turned into. And any of the idiots out there being like, oh my God, Jason Tatum couldn't clutch up. He's 22 years old. 22 years old. Put yourself, I bet you're older than him, or if you're younger than him, whatever. Put yourself in his shoes as a 22-year-old in the Eastern Conference Finals, playing against a red-hot, no pun intended, Heat team. And, you know, look at what he did. You know, he kind of was gone in a couple first quarters, missed some shots, whatever. 22 years old, I don't think we can hold it against him. And I talked about it on the Wicked Smart Sports Guys, hosted by KJ Doyle. I went on that podcast. Good show, go check it out. I went on there, and, you know, KJ and I talked about how you can't really hold it against Jason Tatum that he's lost in the Eastern Conference Finals a few times now. He's 22. And KJ had a really good point showing the age of guys when they truly do reach the finals and then win finals. So Jason Tatum alone is a big enough storyline and a big enough step to make this a win overall of a season. And I truly do believe that. You know, I'm not really a Jason Tatum, you know what, rider or being a green teamer in this instance. Like, these people that are all crapping all over the Celtics right now on Twitter, those are the people that were cheering and celebrating, you know, Jason Tatum's month of February and whatnot. So, you know, you can't have it both ways, because you can't be so damn mad right now that this is all that matters. because, yeah, the season ended. I get it if you're heated. And that's one thing, too. I'm seeing all those tweets because I am trying to be a, you know, a little bright light of positivity on Celtics Twitter right now. And people are like, why can't we be mad? Why can't we be frustrated? You can. You just don't have to be a bonehead about it. And that kind of rolls into what we're talking about next. These people that think because of what happened with the Heat, all of a sudden we have to hit the reset button in a pretty damn big Boston sports account. I think it's only in Boston, right? You know, maybe they should stick to their food and restaurant tweets, because them saying, let's hit the reset button, we can trade everybody, we can fire Brad, fire Danny Ainge, hit the reset button. And in the same tweet saying, we just are on the edge of making the finals, so let's hit the reset button because we're on the edge. What an absolutely idiotic, stupid, uneducated, really, 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 really fake fan-like tweet. Because you can't say, let's hit the reset button because we're so close. Point one, right there, that's dumb. And then saying you want to trade Jaylen Brown, also very, very dumb. Jaylen Brown proved himself, at least in my mind, in this series. And the fact that you're tweeting that out to such a large audience, what are you hoping that they, you know, I don't know, maybe you're trying to get people like me and, you know, bait them into causing interaction with you and whatnot, but you're really trying to influence people in saying that the Celtics suck by saying they need to hit the reset button. There's no good team that needs to hit the reset button. So it was just stupid to see. And then, you know, obviously we have the Brad, the fire Brad Stevens takes out there, which I'm not there yet, guys. We talk about it in the streams. We talk about it on the podcast. I see the tweets daily. So many of them. Everyone wants to fire Brad Stevens. I honestly somehow find myself as being one of the better sort of Brad Steven takers. I don't even know what I'm trying to say here, but someone that has a really good, not theory, but a really good, you know, standing on Brad Stevens. I'm not a Brad Stevens you-know-what writer. Like, oh, he can never do wrong, blah, 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 right? But I also am not on the fire Brad Stevens front. I'm able to like Brad Stevens. I also don't think there's better options out there at a coach, so why would you fire him? So there's one point. But I like Brad Stevens, but I also, you know, have the mental capability of saying, hey, he did this wrong, or I didn't like this about him, without jumping to, let's fire him. So against the zone, you know, I called him out for that. I called him out for not being able to coach against the zone and not using his timeouts and not being vocal with the refs and whatnot. None of that means I want Brad Stevens fired. But the fact that there's like a legit movement and we'll hear a voicemail about it saying like, let's fire Brad Stevens, I don't know about it. I get the questioning. I'm okay with that because I think one of our voicemailers, you know, it says like, I'm not sure Brad Stevens is the guy. I'm fine with that. Like, I do not want to dismiss the, hey, I'm not sure if Brad Stevens is the coach for Banner 18. You can think that. Anyone can think that. I can think that. You can think that. They can think that. But to say he's not the guy and to just, you know, say it with exclamation, like he needs to be fired. I don't know. What are you judging that off of? The guy has, you know, clearly coached a young team into many, many successful situations. And just because they didn't get there to this year, it's a reason to fire him. So my overall take on Brad is really that, you know, I want him to feel the fire. I want him to possibly feel like he's coaching for his job, not full on coaching for your job, because how many guys coach for their job and then keep it? So I don't want it to get that bad. But, you know, maybe Brad Stevens can look in the mirror and say, hey, like, I got to do a little bit better of a job. I know I'm a quiet guy. I know I'm reserved, like, I need to be a little bit more vocal. I have a young team. It's time for me to step up and, you know, get these guys out of rhythm, because we're out of a bad rhythm and into rhythm, because issues like Marcus Smart shooting so many threes, I blame it on coaching. I didn't see Brad Stevens once look at Marcus Smart and say, hey, stop doing that, dude. You know what I mean? Like, he just lets it happen and he puts it on the players to work out amongst themselves. That's good, like 90% of the time. That other 10% is when you're in must-win situations and what you're doing isn't working. A coach needs to step in there. Or, you know, guys coming out flat and whatnot, you know, do something about it. Motivate the guy. You're a coach. Talk to him. And then, you know, get the situations with the zone. Kemba Walker was getting absolutely killed against Toronto with the box and one. Brad Stevens didn't do a single thing to try and free it up. He almost just let Kemba get out of the play and take 4-on-4. It ended up working out in the long run, but still, a coach can intervene there. And then the 2-3 zone. Like, you know, you all knew we were coming to this. I hold that so, so much against Brad Stevens. I hate the take of, well, last time I checked, the players have to play and they have to beat the zone. Well, last time I checked, the coach can install a game plan, and whether or not the players, you know, execute it or not, we can still see that game plan. Like a guy getting to the freaking foul line against a zone and breaking the zone. We saw it so many times it worked. You know, get a guy on the foul line, whether it's Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown or Gordon Hayward, get him on the foul line and take it from there. The fact that the Celtics were going five out against a 2-3 zone was idiotic, and that I blame on coaching. So you can tell, like, I'm all for, you know, crapping on Brad Stevens where and when necessary. But let's not forget, you know, what a good coach he's been, how smart he is, some of these great plays he's drawn up out of bounds, and, you know, what he's done with this team, because it's easy to get sucked up into the, well, it was so clear that they got out-coached when they played Miami. That doesn't call for a firing. Eric Spoelstra is very capable of out-coaching a lot of coaches. So just keep it in mind. You know, you can be critical of Brad Stevens. You can hate Brad Stevens in the moment, but you don't have to just jump ship and say, all right, let's get a new coach because they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, they beat the Sixers. They beat the Raptors, two absolute rivals as of late. And then they lost to a Heat team who's been hotter than, you know, any team in the bubble. They knocked off the Bucks, and they rolled the Bucks, and they came in and pretty much rolled you too. So, you know, it's one thing to say the Heat outplayed you, like I've said, but it's another thing to say Brad Stevens absolutely lost, you know, the series for the Celtics. If he coached better, could it have been different? Probably, sure. But him and his coaching style did not lose the series. It was just, you know, adding fuel to the fire. Does that make sense? So I did want to, you know, it's just such a hateful group out there now. The toxicity, is that a word? The toxic crowd out there, the toxic nature of people in Celtics Twitter right now is absolutely, absolutely crazy to me, because, you know, it's they're saying things as if they haven't watched the whole year and they just watched that Heat series. And it's kind of frustrating for me and probably some of you guys to see all that all over your timeline and whatnot and just be like, I literally, like, my mood's dictated by this team. And when I'm reading all these tweets so negative about this team, it's one thing if it's accurate, but, you know, when you're seeing just ludicrous stuff out there, like hit the reset button, that dumbass tweet by Only in Boston, like, then all of a sudden you're like, what is this? I'm going crazy reading these. So I just wanted to call out the haters just a little bit because it's, I don't know, just frustrating to be a Celtics fan right now and try and look back on a positive season, but just see all of this crap that people are letting spew out of their mouths, into their fingers, onto their phones, and into Twitter. It's absurd. So let's get into some voicemails. Luckily, we don't have too many crazy voicemails. I might disagree with some of the points here, but let's play the first one.
Hey, Ev, love the podcast. This is Eric in Miami. It's rough down here, let me tell you. I think we're real close. We need a knockdown shooter. You know, like a J.J. Redick type or Kyle Korver, what he did for that Cavs team. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money on him. And, like, a solid backup point guard who has some scoring ability. You know, no disrespect to Carson Edwards. I just don't think he's there yet. Like a veteran, maybe. I like the three-headed monster of Time Lord, Cantor, and Tice. I could be crazy. We're not lacking in rebounding or scoring down low. So I think we're real close. I wish Tatum would stop taking some of those ridiculous shots, though. It's rough, but still a Celtics fan. Love the podcast. Later.
Damn, I don't know how Eric is surviving down in Miami after that, because I've seriously seen some Miami fans on Twitter, and I didn't mind them. Like, they weren't, you know, they were tweeting me beforehand being like, it's going to be a good series, going to go back and forth, yada, yada, yada. I've seen some of them get pretty damn big for their britches, so shout out to Eric for surviving down there. A couple of good points brought up in the voicemail here. So the first one about, you know, you need a shooter or a true scoring backup point guard. We lacked that so badly. You know, Hero isn't always that guy, but look at what Hero added just coming into the game. And then look what Andre Iguodala even turned into in that elimination game, game six. Like, a guy that they can bring in and he can knock down a big shot in a big time, or at least just be confident in shooting the open shot, does so, so, so much. So to be able to get a guy like, you know, just as one-dimensional as a guy like Kyle Korver could do so much for the Celtics team. I really do wish that they had it. And then you bring up the backup point guard and the scoring backup point guard. I would say just a guy that, it doesn't have to be a scoring backup point guard, but a guy that can score and we can trust with the ball in his hands. Because right now we're turning to Brad Wanamaker, who really does a lot of nothing. I've been critical of him, but I think I finally got proven correct, because in those late or in those later games, he started to not play and not play and not play. It's because he wasn't doing squat on the court. So the fact that we had to turn to Brad Wanamaker, obviously a bad sign and not really his fault. When he played in the regular season, we'd only play a handful of minutes. He'd do pretty good. Good. Focus on that keyword there. Good. So I'm not trying to rag on Brad Wanamaker, but the fact that so much was asked of him shows where the Celtics team stands, because you can't be going to Brad Wanamaker off the bench. So I do think a scoring point guard or just a strong backup point guard would really benefit this team, a guy that can hit a shot or just make plays happen. And then you talk about the three-headed monster of Cantor, Williams, and Tice. And the only thing I'll say about this, and KJ brought up a good point when I was on his podcast, the only way that that works is if all of them are playing well. And we saw, you know, times where Cantor didn't look too good, or Daniel Tice really wasn't playing well. And then we saw Robert Williams not being able to be trusted by Brad Stevens. So that three-headed monster only works if all heads are ready to go. And they really, really, the most important one possibly is Robert Williams for the defensive reasons. If you play any team like Bam, or, you know, the Heat with Bam, I guess I should say, or a team with maybe even Embiid type of thing, you need your defensive specialist to play well and be trusted on the court, and we haven't really seen that. So I will say that. And then the one other thing with it is, you know, I've said it all along, the center by committee, I love it, I love it, I love it. These guys are covering the void. That works in the regular season. I've come to the point, I think it's a good theory. I've come to the conclusion here that a center by committee really works in the regular season because you can plug and play whoever fits that night. But when you have to play a series, some series going seven games against another team, it comes back to bite you. It really does, because all of a sudden you're playing against the same exact team over and over again, and they start game planning for your lack in a big. And, you know, if they go to Cantor, we'll do this. If they go to Time Lord, we'll do this. If they go to Tice, we'll do this. When you're playing, you know, a random team on any given night, then you can throw the kitchen sink at them and they might not have an answer. But when you're playing the same team over and over again, I think having just like not that, you know, one true reliable big man, I think it definitely comes back to bite you. And, you know, I could be proven wrong. Maybe all of a sudden Tice, Time Lord, and Cantor all develop, and we're looking at a whole different story, you know, come next year. But overall, I do think a big could be pretty damn valuable to this team. Next voicemail. Here we go.
Yo, it's Nate from Jersey. Love the streams, by the way. I think you got to get Tice has to be a bench option. He's a good, solid rotation player. But you need to, I like the idea of trading the three picks and like Robert Williams to like the Warriors for James Wiseman. I was thinking about that during the game, or maybe just like the deadline push for someone like Christian Wood. You definitely need a more like actual big. The inside 6'8" wasn't cutting it. Not mobile. And I think if there's the right deal, I think you move Hayward. Just a liability with the injuries. He's a good person to run the offense through, but I think you gotta move him. I think you gotta move on from him. Maybe sign a person like Carmelo, get another veteran in there. That's just like the option of the veteran. Maybe if the Heat let Iguodala go, I'm not sure if he's up on his contract. You need to get some veteran personnel in there, help guide the team. But the Jays, Marcus Smart, Kemba, I think, and then like Cantor, and you need to get a backup point guard. That's number one. Like, hopefully Edwards and Tremont develop, but you need to get a backup point guard. Like maybe go after Rose and see if he signs a vet minimum, try and win the championship. But that's it. I think that's what you gotta do. And see who's available for coaches. If there's no one better than Brad Stevens, don't get rid of Brad Stevens. But definitely look at the possibility of moving on for a better coach. That's all. Peace out. Stream. I love these shirts. Literally, my favorite thing after a Celtics game. Win or lose. Appreciate it. Deuces.
Shout out to you, man, for, you know, loving the streams and tuning in and asking comments and whatnot. Couldn't do any of that without you guys. Same thing with the voicemails here. If you guys do want to leave a voicemail for next episode, 617-302-6363 is the number, the unleashed line. But let's get to some of the things you brought up on your voicemail. So the first thing was Tice to the bench. Completely agree with it. Like, Tice isn't a true starter in the NBA. In this, you know, new age NBA, he kind of is serviceable as a starter, and I think he did a damn good job all year long. But I think people would, you know, be overlooking it if they said, oh, no, Tice, you know, if he's our starter moving forward, that's the best we can do. I think they can obviously get a better big man down there. He's definitely a solid player. Would be awesome coming off the bench. Really, he'd be an awesome bench player. But the fact that he's starting, you know, puts him in a little bit of a pickle. And then you talked about trading up in the draft and getting an actual big kind of along the same line. I agree with it. Like, I don't know if there's this. Let me break this down and not answer the question directly or answer the take correctly. But literally, if they have all of these picks again in this draft, what are they going to do? Draft a bunch of guys again and make this team even younger, not be able to really keep any of these guys. And I don't know. I just don't see how these picks truly benefit you in the near future. And you are a win now team, really. So let's make some moves. Let's move those assets. Let's get some guys, bring in some, you know, high caliber players with these picks, and let's make some moves, because whether or not you're trading up to draft a guy, I do think that those picks are way more valuable out of hand than they are in your hand. If you trade those picks, I think that you can actually make something happen. Obviously, money's going to be an issue, and you brought up trading Hayward, so, you know, we'll parlay this topic into that. If you could, you know, trade a bunch of picks and Hayward for, say, a Miles Turner type of thing, as much as I love Hayward, as good as Hayward is, I think that makes your team better. And I'm a Celtics fan before anything, before a Hayward fan, before a Tatum fan, I'm a Celtics fan. If it makes the team better, which I do think in a lot of these Hayward trade situations, it really could, I'm all for it, you know? So just to kind of break down what you said about, you know, trading up and getting wise, like, forget the specific player for a second. I'm all for moving those picks that you have, because to me, it's not really the draft to have all of these picks. You know, like, I don't think it's that deep of a draft. Maybe it is. Maybe we'll get some surprises. Maybe it's because of March Madness and everything, you know, the names haven't really jumped off the screen at you. But I do think moving these picks could be your best bet. And then you bring up vets being needed. You know, I think that that's a great point. I think that they could, even a guy like Iguodala, who doesn't even play much, could definitely add to this team. And being in a backup point guard, we talked about that already too. Like, get a backup point guard that's actually serviceable. Not, or I shouldn't say serviceable, that can actually contribute. Not like a Brad Wanamaker, who you get in there and treads water and then sometimes, you know, drowns and kills you. Let's get into the next voicemail there. Good voicemail.
What's up? This is Jay Smooth from Akron, Ohio. And my thoughts of the Celtics game is Stevens is not somewhat overrated. He is way overrated by his media fanboys. And so is GM Danny Ainge. Ainge to be fired. These two men have Red Auerbach rolling over his grave. Celtics were about championships under Red.
See, I told you, those fire Brad Stevens, get rid of Danny Ainge, that crowd's out there. And while I don't agree with it, I do... I hate to say it, I do see the point in saying, you know, Red's rolling over his grave, because we're about championships here in Boston. We have been, you know, whether it's the Celtics, whether it's the Patriots, it's very much title town. And the fact that the Celtics keep getting so close, but no cigar type of thing, and, you know, they have just the one championship under Danny Ainge, maybe I give a little credence to this voicemail. Again, I don't agree with it. Like, I think Brad Stevens is young enough that he can grow with this team. I think he's only going to get better and better, and I don't think there's any other names out there that are on the true coaching market to say, hey, come replace Brad Stevens, you know? So I don't agree with it, but I do see the fire, and I see the request of, like, what are we doing here? It's going to be the same thing next year. But my take is that if it's the same thing next year, that's still like getting to the Eastern Conference Finals. When did that become a losing season? You know, championships are nothing in Boston. I get it. I feel like that too. But, you know, if we take it down and pump the brakes a little bit, I don't think we need to get hot and bothered about Brad or about Danny Ainge. You know, it's like what we got going on right now works. And people that shit on Danny Ainge, you know, I get it, one championship while he's been GM, but how about the fact that he's now constructed a team that, Like, just like everyone said, and this kind of goes back to calling out the haters thing, everyone that was so excited about this team and how good they were, you know, earlier in the year, during February, say, or even when they're sweeping the Sixers, why are those people now calling out Danny Ainge? Like, where were those people? Danny Ainge hasn't changed. He's still the GM. He hasn't played better or worse since the playoffs started. You know, he's doing the same exact thing. Where were those people calling out Danny Ainge when the Celtics were winning and playing well? You know, I think it's kind of a cop-out to be like, ah, we lost. Screw the GM. You know, it's kind of annoying. And the same thing with Brad to some degree, even though Brad has a little bit more in terms of what he contributes to the in-game and wins or losses. But I'm not on the Danny Ainge get rid of him or the Brad Stevens get rid of him train yet. But like, you know, the voicemail caller said, you can clearly tell the fire. Like, I do get the championship or nothing mentality, and it kind of sucks to say, hey, if we get to the Eastern Conference Finals next year, that's still a good year. That doesn't fly in Boston. So while I don't agree with getting rid of Ainge, while I don't agree with getting rid of Stevens, I can kind of see the fire, and that's kind of what I want. I want Brad Stevens to feel the fire, and maybe Danny Ainge, you know, trade these picks like I talked about. Do something, because what you have isn't necessarily good enough. It's good. You have really, really successful teams, but I want that ring, and I'm sure Jay wants the ring too. So thanks for the voicemail. Next voicemail, let's go.
What's up, y'all? Ethan Gates with an 8 from Columbus, Ohio. I'm trying to make it short and sweet. I've been a Celtics fan for 14 years, and I feel like right now it's like the saddest part about being a Celtics fan, because, you know, we've been to the Eastern Conference Finals 3 times in the last 4 years. One of the times, we didn't even have Isaiah Thomas, so I really don't even count that one. The other time, we didn't have Kyrie. We really didn't know what was going to happen that year. We got further than what we expected, and we took LeBron in Game 7. This time, we lost to a team that was literally not better than us at all. We just got outplayed. Like Hayward needs to go. We need to get a big man, like, ASAP. And we just, I don't know. We really have a lot of positives, though. Jaylen Brown developed a lot. Jason Tatum developed a lot. It was Kemba's first Eastern Conference Finals. So, I mean, we have a lot of positives. But at the same time, we need to make something happen. We're the Boston Celtics, supposed to be the best franchise in basketball. We need a championship soon. Thank you for listening.
All right, shout out to Ethan. I think that's a good voicemail to play after the last one, because it's true. We'll start at the end there. This is Boston. Championships are what matter. So, like I said, and like I referred to the previous voicemail too, like, I get that. But, you know, and then and in this, we're talking about Celtics fan for 14 years, right? Saddest time in your fandom. I mean, see, that's a little, you know, recency bias, but I hear you, because when are we going to get to the next step? When are we going to truly become the championship contender? And I do think that, you know, some things need to happen. And it's important to realize that, hey, you know, it stinks that we lost. And, you know, but at the same time, I guess I'm trying to say, we got really, really far, farther than anyone really would have thought, especially the NBA analysts. You know, Celtics fans may have believed in this team like I did, but, you know, the general public did not. So it's important to realize that, you know, it's good that we got this far, and you acknowledged the positives in your voicemail there, but at the same time, be hungry for what's next. So I think that the voicemail's good. It makes a lot of sense. Hayward out, big man in. It's kind of back to that sort of, I love Hayward. I think Hayward's really good. But if you can have a true trade that brings in an actual legitimate big man, I'm all for it. You know, it pains me to say it, because I believe in Hayward. I think he's kind of gotten the short end of the stick, but with these injuries and how Boston judges him. But hey, it's what have you done for me lately? And he's clearly getting injured over and over again. So if it makes sense for the team, I am absolutely all for it. It's something that could drastically change the schematics of this team. You bring in a guy like Miles Turner and ship out Hayward and don't have to worry about all these draft picks that you have that could be useless. All of a sudden, you have a big man that can also stretch the floor, that's young, that can grow with Tatum and Brown, but isn't necessarily going to take shots away from them. I think it could work. So, and that's just one specific player, obviously, you know, getting a big man, forget even trading Hayward for a second, get a good big man. I think this team gets a lot better. And then that, you know, relays into that. This is Boston. Let's go win a ring. So while you say, Ethan, you say that you're as sad as you've ever been in your fandom. I don't know, man. Couple of years just right after the big three disband and whatnot, those are pretty damn sad. But this was a letdown year. in terms of a team that they could have. No, I said I'm not going to say could. A team that they should have beat. Like, that's a letdown. But overall, so I think I said it's a letdown year. I meant a letdown series. Overall, the year was positive. And, you know, we have to keep in mind that this is a team led by a 22-year-old, second in command, a 23-year-old. And then you have Kemba and Hayward sort of leading the way with Marcus Smart, too. You know, it's there's a lot of positives to consider. And we talked about it at the top of the show. So many positives that we can really say trump the negative. Like, the negative was that they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and lost in six games. What? Like, you know what I mean? Tell someone, walk down the street and say, I'm mad because the Celtics lost in the Eastern Conference Finals in six games. And if they're like a Suns fan or some other team's fan, they're like, dude, you made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and you almost won them. I mean, you didn't really, but yeah. So I think it's important. And that's kind of the point of this show today, to acknowledge how, you know, well the year actually went. Like, it's tough to be like, you know, that was a shitty Celtics season because they lost. Like, every, no matter if they lost in the seventh game of the finals, we'd be having the same feelings, you know what I mean? But we might acknowledge that they, I guess I give you guys the credit that we might acknowledge that they made the finals because it's one step further than they've gotten. But still, any time the Celtics are going to end the season losing, obviously you're going to feel crappy and feel sad. So I'm right there with you guys. But I do just want to acknowledge the positive. So thank you guys very much for tuning in to episode number 86. We are approaching that century mark. I got to do some, I don't know what I'm going to do for the 100 mark, but we'll figure it out. But again, if you want to leave a voicemail for a future episode, 617-302-6363 is the Unleashed line. As always, guys, please subscribe, follow wherever you're listening to your podcast. We are there. Make sure you're sharing with your friends, family, anyone. I'm really, really excited for this offseason to have the challenge of making some good content during the offseason. We did it last year with the live shows and whatnot, you know, even without games. And I think that's something we're going to bring back. Not sure of all the details yet, but I do think we might return with a weekly or a bi-weekly live show for Unleashed because, you know, I love going live with you guys, having the instant and immediate sort of conversation. The voicemails are great. The comments are great. The texts that we get are great. But those immediate, you know, reactions and whatnot are really awesome. So hopefully the Celtics have some plans of getting a little bit better. Again, not hitting the reset button only in Boston. Dumb tweet. Not hitting the reset button, but have some plans of getting better and putting themselves over the edge because it'll make for an entertaining offseason. So until next time, guys, thank you very, 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 very much for listening. And I'll catch you guys in the next episode.